Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina is located on Highway 360, just south of West Bank Drive. Chad and Kevin are brought to you by Miller Lite.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking at about a four-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
While we're on the subject, could we change the subject now? I was knocking on your ears, don't believe you. We're always out.
Ah, you damn right. Let's go. Hour number one on a Thursday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling, producer for us as always. Our man Colton is here today as well. Always great to see him. We hope you are having a good Thursday. How you doing over there, Mr. Dunn?
Getting through this week, man.
Yeah, it's been busy?
Yeah. I've just been... You play from behind, it's never good. I've been playing from ahead, or at least I was playing, we're even.
Playing from behind, it's a great phrase.
I mean, I got a lot of good stuff done this weekend and saw some people, but there was also some things I needed to get done, and so it's just backloaded me. So I'm ready. I'm ready for Saturday.
Do enough people...
Or I guess ready for tomorrow.
Ready for tomorrow. You're ready for tomorrow because of Texas baseball, right? Ready for that season to get going at home? Is that what you meant by tomorrow?
No, I meant I'm ready for tomorrow.
Oh, you're ready for the weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, just in general.
Although I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, okay.
But if I'm going to be honest, there's one thing on my mind right now and why I'm ready for tomorrow.
It is.
This could be a hibernation weekend
for me.
I get everything done. That's the other thing.
Yeah, right, because you got to get all the errands done. Get it off your mind.
Right. I got emails, a couple emails I still have to get back to, so if you're listening, I'm sorry.
So I know there's a lot of phrases that have become insensitive over time. I know PETA's gotten on some of those, but...
Well, I think PETA is incredibly fair.
Do people use the chicken with the head cut off enough nowadays? Because that's the way my grandmother would say she's playing from behind.
You're right.
Back in the day, they'd say, oh, I'm running around with like a chicken with my head cut off today.
Yeah, Lucille would have said that. How was today? Oh, chicken.
Chicken with the head cut
chicken
off,
chicken with
right?
the head cut off. I'm on Mopac. I'm trying to make a call. I mean, I keep on looking at the clock, and I'm thinking I'm an hour behind.
But if I'm a vegetarian, do I not want to say that? Because I'm insulting a chicken that's not even real?
Well, I would think if you're going to take the step, and I do respect vegetarians that they're putting their money where their mouth is in many ways.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that they actually do it. Because, look, you listened to the show yesterday. I mean, you and I came off like Jack Hanna and Irwin. Yeah, because we are. We truly love animals.
Yes, we do. Absolutely.
And we can go to a zoo, and you can sit there and look at a mama bozo. That's a species, right?
A mama bozo.
With the nose and kind of
you
a
mean
monkey,
the North African mama
well, yeah,
bozo?
Of course.
Okay.
And you can sit there for an hour and look at them, right? With that said, I still like to eat them. And I've always had those two worlds battling.
Oh, man.
Because as much as I love animals, I also love food.
Yeah, dude. The first time I had grilled Mama Bozo,
it's really
like the
good.
With the Parmesan on top.
You shouldn't be eating that.
Oh,
but I've had it.
So good.
I've had it.
Only available
Mexico City.
Yes, exactly.
And Queens.
Yeah, for a while Sweden, but then they stopped. They stopped on the Mama Bozo.
So yeah, it's kind of where I'm at. Where are we going with that?
I just made me hungry for
yeah,
some
I know.
Reason.
I was starting to think about that.
All right, so we hope everybody is.
That's why I couldn't be a vegetarian.
I got you. Okay, because if you went vegetarian, you'd go. Full-blown vegetarian, but would you go with the sensitivity, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well,
could you still
that's
say
what I'm saying. If you're going to do that,
chicken with the head cut
then you should go ahead and take that step, which is much easier, just changing what you say.
Because aren't there vegetarians that do it for their benefit because they think it's better for their body, but they could still joke about an animal being hurt?
Sure, yeah.
That's probably a rare group.
No,
but
they're out there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so
but you're right. It's not the majority.
Probably not the majority.
It's a smaller
no,
part of a
probably
pie.
Not. But if you are running around like a chicken with your head cut off today, or you're feeling a little behind or whatever, we hope you get caught up very, very quickly.
Well, how are you?
I'm good.
How was the dog show last night?
I am good. There was no dog show last night.
Or
what
would you watch for the other 39 minutes?
Oh, I watched. I went farther than most people did. I probably got it. I got 4 minutes into the second half before I waited till a 20-point lead to fast forward.
Okay.
That's how far into it I got. Yeah, that I guess we have to start where it all stopped last night. Over the weekend, I watched something that lasted 26 seconds because a dude's knee apparently went out
fight
in the UFC. And then last night, it was 36 seconds, I believe, and it's Williamson, right? I was about to call him Richardson. Zion Williamson,
yes.
Blows out the shoe.
What are you thinking of there? Jason Richardson?
I don't know what that – yeah, I guess it was. I was combining there. But I want to make sure I get his name right because it's phenomenal. But you've watched a ton of college and pro basketball. You ever seen anything like that?
No, not like that. I've seen shoes blow out, but I guess not on that because all of us – at least I was looking at right away as he was grabbing his knee, his other knee.
Right.
And thinking, and I was glad once he kind of clutched underneath a little bit and was obviously able to walk off. But what a deflator.
Ugh.
I mean, all the things that we were talking about, and you and I are realistic about this sport, unlike some of the people on Twitter right now that are saying no one should ever play again. He's not getting a penny.
Nope.
Well, let's.
God. I figured you'd enjoy those conversations.
Yeah. Well, I've stayed away.
Yeah, I bet you
so
have.
I've stayed away, and this is going to be 4 hours of not much of that. We can throw it in there in a little bit, and Chad and I will reiterate our opinions.
I promise you, I will not ask that question today.
Well, no, we can get into a little bit and reiterate what you and I have said a bunch, mm-hmm. and I've heard some coaches and some people today talking about it, and that sport's just completely out of whack, but I was hoping this would be a night. You know, I was hoping we'd get a night, and you still have to give Carolina credit. And actually, I did watch almost all of it, and there was maybe I'm on this side too much now. I thought it was still at least entertaining for what I thought it was going to be once Zion went out.
Now the main thing I'll admit.
I'm talking when Duke's making some runs in the first half.
Yeah, those were some runs. They were keeping it close enough, right?
Yes.
They were keeping it close enough where you had to kind of stay in.
When you went out, completely fair.
Plus, I admit that I was waiting for the possibility of Willis Reed, the possibility of Mateen Cleaves.
Yeah, and especially in this era with the ridiculous things that are said and now become axioms in that world and how soft that whole world is and ridiculous. I thought he may be the one.
Right? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking too.
I mean, he's been one of the few guys I've seen the last 10 years who looks like he even wants to be there.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Seems to care.
I guess, but we're working from that grade and that curve. So
yeah,
there's also that.
You're starting at C- for your grading system there. So yeah, I was hoping. Now, as soon as they tell me he's out the rest of the game at halftime, I'm thinking, okay. Then it's all about the score. Got to 20 points. I fast-forwarded a little bit. Duke made a little kind of run. I watched that foul with the elbow and the face and everything. But then it's like, all right, now we're cruising to the end. So I didn't really have to watch the whole thing. But it was
Reddish had a nice elbow early on in that thing down low.
Who's that?
Cam.
Oh, see, I missed that one. Reddish delivered it caught it?
Delivered it.
Okay. Did they call the foul or did he sneak it in?
No, it was an and one, I believe. And then the guys like Carolina guys like, hey, go look at this thing.
Oh, see, I missed that one.
Okay.
I must have missed that. It was also a good lesson in timing last night because, you know, after the game, Krzyzewski's trying to talk about how they reacted to it. And he's just like, well, you know, take him off the floor. Moving forward, we'll figure something out. But obviously, there's no way. It's kind of like, you know, did she tell you she was not going to
There's no way, but you have two other top five picks.
You do have that. You have that. And they played pretty well. I mean, they played all right. What we found out is Duke has nothing in the lane other than Zion Williamson.
Right.
My God.
Well, he's shooting 68%, whatever it is, for a reason, which is why I say I have no idea how it's going to translate to the next level. He's got still so much to develop, but he kind of knows his game. And in college basketball now, the way it is, he can – just Annie's a freak, so you add in all those things, but physically he can just destroy people like Corliss Williamson with Pete Chilcutt around him.
Ooh, Corliss Williamson.
Went back and watch the 90
it's a good big man.
UNC-OU game.
Now that could have – I was just thinking, yesterday we were talking about the hated players in the series on both sides. That's what Duke needed last night when he went out, one of those hated big men. They needed Billis or Psycho T or Montross or Corliss Williamson. They needed some kind of body down low. You know I was going to have to
take a Byron Houston.
Yeah, you know I have to mention the stat today. 62-28 in the paint is ugly.
Is that it?
62 in the paint? In the first half, they had 37 points, and 34 of them were from inside the paint, North Carolina. It was like a layup line Zion went out.
And Carolina wasn't a lack for trying from the outside.
Oh, God.
Both those teams, stop shooting threes. Stop.
Yeah, I agree.
At some point, stop.
At least I'll give Roy Williams credit for this. At halftime, he yelled at them enough, or did something, to get them to stop. They were 1-for-14 in the first half, only 1-for-6 in the second. Only took 6.
Right.
For them, that was a big deal. Less than half. But you're right. Those two teams were playing like Duke and Carolina teams we used to watch that could hit threes, that would come down and transition, penetrate, kick, boom. But if you don't have the boom, you got to figure something else out. Duke rushed a ton of threes last night. But I'll kind of let them off the hook, I guess, a little bit because they were so freaked out. I mean, they were deer. They were deer in headlights instantly after Zion was out.
They were, and you're right. I mean, Barrett especially, I thought, did some things. I mean, he still was 3 of 11 from beyond the arc. Reddish was 4 of 12. But, yeah, that was it. I mean, that's all they got, and you see the Duke really is a three-man team. Although I'll give Trey Jones credit. That was the matchup I wanted to see him defensively going up against Kobe White.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some fun stuff back and forth.
Kobe White's a good player.
Yeah, he is.
That was my first chance to really get to watch him.
But how about Luke May?
Long period. He was great. Luke May was phenomenal.
And then Johnson, who's been playing well.
What a night. Cameron Johnson was really good with 26. That is a smooth, smooth player. He's really good.
Yeah, and what I like about him is he wasn't feeling it from the outside. He went 0-for, but still was pretty efficient offensively. And that's where you see those four seniors, and I think Johnson's a grad student, where you see those guys.
Grad student? You can do that and play college basketball?
And score 26 and be pretty damn good.
Yeah, he was great.
That what you kind of saw them kind of understanding. And then with May, the 30 and 15, that's not talked about enough.
Yeah. Did you see that stat? How long it's been?
No.
So he was 30 and 15, 2 assists, 2 steals. That is the first player with 30 and 15 in that game since 1963.
63?
Either side. 1963 to get 30 and 15.
Oh, wow. I would have guessed.
I would have.
I mean, one of their great players.
Yeah, I would have. Some of those guys we were throwing out yesterday that at some point, right? But against the other team is the key there, right? Did Leitner and those guys have a 30-15? Maybe, but not against Carolina. So that was wild. But yeah, Luke May looked great. Just all the hard work he was putting in the lane. Billis, I thought, did a great job. I don't think Jay Billis gets enough credit sometimes for being fair during a Duke-North Carolina game,
mm-hmm.
but I think he calls it fairly.
That.
And his giving North Carolina the credit for the way they were passing last night, the thought was one thing, but the execution on their passing was incredible. They were moving the ball around, finding the easiest shot.
And then getting on his team whenever they were getting a little too stagnant at times.
Yes, yes.
You're dribbling too much. No one's cutting.
Or those quick threes.
He kept on saying that. Boy, they're taking a lot of quick threes.
Yeah, I think he does a better job sometimes than he gets credit for. So North Carolina gets the win. Unfortunately, we all get that taken away from us. And
yeah, it's just that sucked, right?
It did. Not to bring up a bad memory around here, but it is the one thing I thought to compare it to. Obviously not a championship game. It had that Colt Bama feel to it to me. It was taken from you so early, very beginning of the game.
I didn't think about it because the two things just mean so much. There's such a difference. Not
Absolutely.
Only for me, but also for any college sports fan.
True.
One's a national championship, even in a down college football year when college football still is a big deal. And that's a regular season that.
It was a rivalry game, so it's a little higher than the normal. But you know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
no. I
to be that
taking
fast,
out that, I totally
that
get it.
Quick, man. That it just really sucked because we talked about it. Nothing else was on last night. Everybody was focused in on it. $10,000. Some schmuck. I feel so bad for that man or woman that paid $10,000 to see it. And 30 seconds in, the reason you paid is walk into the locker room.
Right, but you've got tons of money. Hopefully, if you're doing that.
That's true.
To where you can probably swallow it.
Did you see the catch they had on Barack Obama in the crowd? You could read his lips. He said his shoe broke. He literally pointed and said, his shoe broke. Like Obama saw it happen live and said it to whoever he was sitting next to.
The guy next to him. Yeah. It was like apparently one of his aides who's a huge Duke guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's disappointing. But let's give Carolina some love. And I had mentioned they'd won 8 out of 9 coming in. They've really gotten that thing together. And they just got a nice little mix right now. It's a good basketball team.
51% from the floor for North Carolina. When you get 62 points in the paint, it is easy to do. So that was the big story coming off of last night. A lot of discussion of that, I'm sure, around the country, especially around North Carolina. Also, there is another analyst story for Texas, and I'll admit I have not dug too far into this guy, but Paul Williams, I believe, is the name, a defensive coach. Coming from Houston, and I believe he was a defensive backs coach there.
The DBs, I believe.
Right, at U of H. So I'm assuming that would mean there's somewhere back through the line, there's a pre-existing relationship with this guy and Tom Herman, and maybe was, you know, they'd been on staffs together. But another defensive analyst, or another analyst, not as big a name, obviously, as Larry Fedora, but just like we've talked about, somebody to help out, this time to help out Todd Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, I've read a little bit, kind of like you, 22-year coaching veteran, right? You've been around 22 years.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten that far into exactly
who he is. To the NFL, and where did I see? Where am I at? This is Burnt Orange Nation. Past stops include Illinois, Miami, Temple, and Western Michigan. Miami, I knew, and I think Illinois as recently as 2016 with Lovey.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't realize he'd been through there. Now, did I get the name wrong?
And that's me, so I'm not sure if that's correct.
Is it Pat Williams? Wrong. I said Paul Williams. I'll make sure I'm getting this name right. Because, again, I've barely...
It's Paul Williams.
It is Paul. Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm sorry. I thought you said Pat there. Okay, so that story is out there as well. Longhorn fans, another analyst for Tom Herman on the defensive side this time. So if you want to jump in today, as always, the Specs text line is there for you, 337-3776. Coming up at 3:30, we'll get Rod Babers in here, Longhorn Insider segment. We've got some, we obviously mentioned the college basketball. There's some NFL to get into. We're going to have a good football discussion at 4 o'clock with one of our new favorite guys, Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com. He's let us know that he's crunched all the film on Texas guys for the draft. So before, you know, pre-combine stuff, headed to the combine in the draft. So we're going to get into that with him, obviously get his thoughts on Kyler Murray, because that official announcement was made since the last time we talked with him. So we'll get that football discussion in. And then at 5 o'clock, our weekly talk with Dustin McComas of Orange Bloods. Dustin, obviously following the Longhorn baseball team very closely, but also Longhorn basketball as they get ready for this Oklahoma game.
Saw an article in The Athletic earlier talking about Earl Thomas and possibly headed to Dallas and how there's just kind of been that thought of a union for a couple years, but may not be as easy on the surface with what the Cowboys have. They've got close to 47 in cap space, and obviously with his age and the injury, I'm just curious how much they want him. And after reading this, I mean, it sounds like there's still a chance there, but Thomas, of course, is saying that there's a pretty strong market for him with several teams.
That's one of those stories of, you talk about a believe it when I see it story.
Right.
This thing has come up, different versions of it. I think he could absolutely help him out, and I hope he finds a place that makes him happy. Sounds like the Cowboys would make him happy. I hope it comes together, because I feel like both sides could benefit from it.
I do too, and that's where I think that, especially for NFL fans right now, you're thinking about building your team in so many ways. We're going to have Tony on in the draft, as we've talked about. That's really where you build it. But you can get a free agent here or there, and if you get the right deal, we've seen it. It can do a lot.
Well, and sometimes on the show, I'll mention the phrase, you're getting the rest of a guy. And it is true, but when it's the rest of Earl Thomas, it's still going to be, that's going to be a lot better than other options you have, because I can't wait to see what the rest. Chad and Kevin with you on a Thursday. Got Big Three coming up. Also, I'll tell you more about the Horn Bash Barbecue Cook-Off. But first, it's Gary Clark Jr. this week, because the album comes out tomorrow. Trey, what do you got?
Today is new songs that have already been released. We're starting with Pearl Cadillac. It was the first song that he played on SNL last weekend.
Yep.
It's one of Gary's efforts at falsetto, which he does very, very well. But Pearl Cadillac, the first off of the new album that drops tomorrow. Guys, I'm not going to be here tomorrow, so maybe you can ask Brad Kellner if you wouldn't mind giving a taste of what's on that album, too.
Wait, Brad Kellner's producing our show?
He is.
Oh, shut up. Man.
Are you serious?
You guys don't have to sound so excited.
No, I mean, I'm more just because I'm just going to destroy him.
I'm not really sure if what I'm expressing is excitement. I'm just trying to make sure that you're telling me the truth. It sounds like one of y'all's bits or bets or processes or something like that.
We're off. Are we on? No, okay. I think we're still on.
I hear me.
We're
on.
Keep on.
We
talking.
Are on. There we go. All right, let me tell.
Say the F word. Let's just gamble. Come on. Russian roulette.
Let me tell everybody about this Horn Bash Barbecue Cook-Off. The Louis Miller Barbecue Cook-Off is back for Horn Bash 2019. 40 of the best barbecue teams, this is going to make me hungry, will be facing off at Buck's Backyard on May 4th to bring you the best brisket, ribs, chicken, and more. This year, vote on your favorite team's special dish. Ticket information is coming soon. If you want to be one of the 40 teams to compete, go to hornbash.com to be entered into the Horn Bash Barbecue Cook-Off Lottery to be considered. My man Leonard Love, let me know today. He's trying to get into this thing. Make sure to stay tuned.
Trying.
To the Horn.
Gotta get him in.
And the social media for all things Horn Bash, presented by Reliable Automotive.
That's what I did with 8 minutes to go in that game.
Start barbecuing?
No, I went to Cooking Channel.
Okay.
And guess who was on?
Not
sure. I think this is an older episode.
Charles Barkley.
It's a good guess. I don't know. Why has he not been on there? That's a good call, Chad. I'm going to make some phone calls. Louis.
Louis De Palma?
Louis
Miller.
Oh,
he was on there.
Louis De Palma. What's wrong with you right now?
I don't know.
This whole thing messing you up?
You think DeVito could be there ready to cook something up?
That's actually another good idea.
Right?
I like how you call him Louis De Palma, though.
We should have called him Danny DeVito, but you know.
But no, he was on, and it was, I guess, when they had their new place, and he was showing how you can put some age into the smokers. So he gets, like, old barbecue fat and just slathers it on these new smokers.
Are you
and
serious?
This guy, I forgot this guy's name. But yeah, it was pretty good.
You can add age
I
never thought of that.
It
once
was awesome
in my life.
It was awesome.
Okay, so if you like get a new restaurant or whatever, and you want to help out the aging of your grill,
add some age.
You can do that.
I hadn't thought about it either.
What are you gonna do? I'm going down to the restaurant late. We're gonna age up that grill.
So for on this one, this is brisket fat, and you just see it almost looks like paint.
See, I've just been letting my grill rust all these years. I thought that's how you put age on the grill.
No.
That's not it?
No.
Okay, darn it.
No lighter fluid either.
I'm trying to do that.
You and Brad can talk McDonald's tomorrow.
I saw
he got a McDonald's donut twist.
A donut twist? I don't even know what that is. He and I can't talk.
McDonald's doesn't.
He and I can talk
McDonald's
fast
churro.
Oh, I didn't know they had churros now.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's like.
Apparently it's the McNugget batter. Minus the chicken, plus some cinnamon sugar, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know what that would be like. I'm not going to totally dismiss it, but I'm going to guess like the Taco Bell churro is probably better. I'm just guessing.
Well, there are some examples in the kitchen,
yeah.
And they brought them in.
I don't want them now.
Specifically for us to talk about them earlier, so maybe give it a try.
So I can reheat it if I want?
Sure.
May give that a shot. Okay.
Throw it in the toaster oven, maybe?
Yeah, right. Exactly. We get that done. All right. Let's get you a big three, and then we'll get Rod Babers in here.
The big three.
All right. Obviously, Duke Carolina, the big focus for last night, and it turned really weird really fast. Zion Williamson with the injury. It is being described as a mild sprain of his knee. Some are speculating the MCL may have been involved, but a mild sprain is what they're saying, and then we'll see when he is able to come back. North Carolina shoots 51% from the floor, 62 points in the paint. Without Zion out there, they were able to do pretty much whatever they wanted, and we talked about Luke May's 30-15. Cameron Johnson had 26 points. Carolina looked good. Tonight in college hoops, if you want a little bit, I want to check out a couple top 10 teams. Michigan is at Minnesota. Michigan's the number 7 team in the country. They are on at 6 on ESPN. And then Gonzaga is number 2 in America. They host Pepperdine. I actually did not see a channel on that. Might not be on TV, but they play at 8 o'clock, so look around for that one. Texas and OU, 11 o'clock Saturday on ESPNU. Elsewhere in the world of football, there is stories rolling around the last couple days about the A&M AD, Scott Woodward, and his comments about possibly playing Texas. There's also comments about the Aggie president and things that were said in an email that make people believe maybe that that's not getting any closer to these two teams playing. I can also tell you that thanks to my niece for letting me know today, but there's also a questionnaire that they're throwing around A&M in addition to voting for like class presidents and things like that and new Yell leaders and whatever. They're asking the students at A&M whether they want to play Texas moving forward. Hmm. So they're, I don't know what that ultimately means progress-wise, but it's happening. I'm always a little surprised that that's happening.
We talked about this like 2 weeks ago, right?
It's something like that.
There's been some movement.
Kind of the last story.
My emotions on this. Not much, just a little.
Yeah. No, that's right. You finally admitted a couple weeks ago you just don't, you don't care. You're good without it, right?
But I mean, there's been movement since then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just a little. Not much.
Which way?
I care even less.
let me guess. The more I mention it, the less you care?
No. I just thought, I mean, look, we've doubled y'all up. We won the thing. And did it in smack fashion.
Oh,
so,
well, that's not how to look at it. I mean, shouldn't you just look at, should they
well,
be
actually,
playing?
Actually, it is a way to look at it, which is the way it's you look at it, but most Aggies should because it's reality.
It is a way to look at it, certainly, but it shouldn't be the only reason to play or not play, should it?
It shouldn't be the only, but it adds to my apathy.
Okay, all right. But for you, it does. It kind of helps to close that door.
And remember, I was like you to where the first couple years it just felt, whoa, what's going on? And the more I haven't been with her, the more I realize single life ain't that bad.
Okay. There you go. And also, it has been set.
I mean, it has been with our record. I get that.
I got
but
you
know what
I
I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're moving in the right direction.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
We're learning how to cook.
Also, if you missed it, the spring games for both A&M and Oklahoma have been set. Same day as Texas, April 13th for all three of those teams. If you're following teams in the region
be
for
on
spring
TV?
Games.
I'm sure.
I'm sure all three will be.
I know.
We know Texas
Channel
will.
Yeah.
Nothing on times yet for those other two. I'm sure they'll try to stagger those out a little bit.
And you guys are, God, you're replacing a lot of people, man.
Yeah, there's some big losses. The losses that were there anyway, plus when you add on the guys that are going early, it's key players.
It's going to be a fun time, whether they play or not. And obviously, they're not going to play in the regular season anytime soon. We got, if you are one of those people that really wants to see them always mix it up and get into it, then you have the best version of that without them playing.
The recruiting wars.
That, and they're both headed in, right now at least, in the right direction.
Yeah, and both playing good ball. You're right. In the NFL, you've got a couple stories out there. One, we know that Le'Veon Bell is going to be officially an unrestricted free agent March 13th. Steelers are just tired of dealing with these prima donnas. They're not going to mess with it. They're not going to franchise tag him.
About time.
They're just going to say, you know what, get out of here. So now with Antonio Brown, they got to try to get something for it because that's a trade situation. This is, they're just going to let him float. I'm hearing the Colts. I'm hearing the Bucks. I'm hearing the Jets as possible teams that may have enough money to get Le'Veon Bell to care.
Yeah, wow. I mean, think about just all the guys they've had that are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you had, what, the three or four Bs that were flying around?
Yeah, that's true. They did have some Bs for
Bryant
a while.
Too.
Yeah. Boswell's still there. Is he still the kicker? No, they're done with him. All the bees are gone.
I'm thinking more receiver, quarterback, and running back. But yeah, that's cute. Yeah. Very cute.
But it's
not who they are. Traditionally, it's not. This whole drama thing.
No, I
it actually, makes more sense with y'all, even.
It does. It makes total sense.
Not Landry Cowboys, but y'all have been Jerry long enough.
Yeah, that drama would make total sense for Jerry's world. But
I didn't even mean that drama. I mean your own drama makes more sense for the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Any of it does. And I respect the Steelers for being who they are in this situation.
But I do, too. And Rod brought up a good point. Another thing to look at their history, they've been phenomenal at drafting wide receivers. I don't know if that same person or people, if they're still there.
Right.
But whoever was doing it, I'd feel really good when they take Hakeem Anderson from Jackson State in the 7th round.
Yeah, because you know in a year or so he's going to be on everybody's fantasy team.
Probably.
Because they'll figure out a way to use him. Let's bring Rod Babers in, Longhorn Insider segment. It is kind of a an interesting step forward here, Rob, but I know this doesn't surprise you as an NFL fan that the Steelers are just, they're going to be the Steelers on this thing and ultimately get rid of two problems.
Yeah, we've seen it before, right? It's Antonio Holmes, he got a few chances with the Steelers, but ultimately they got fed up with him and, you know, they decided that he was crazier than he was hot, and same thing with Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown wants out. This, I mean, why would you try to, you know, reconcile? Like, what reason would you have to try to do that? Because he wants out. You just signed this guy to a contract 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's basically saying, I don't like that deal. I want guaranteed money. At this point, if you're the Steelers, and like you said, they've been drafting wide receivers, and they're really smart about it. You know, every year, late mid rounds for the last, I don't know, decade or so, nobody's actually been better at drafting wide receivers in the NFL in the last 8 to 10 years. I don't know if there's anybody been better.
You brought it up when we went through the list, and I kind of knew that, but. Then I was like, well, you're right.
Yeah,
man.
Right. Don't think about it. They let guys go. They don't miss Mike Wallace. Juju Smith-Schuster is there, so they'll be okay.
Even their misses are like Plaxico Burress.
Exactly, right? That's a miss. San Antonio Holmes was kind of a miss for him, and he was a Super Bowl MVP. To me, I think it reflects more negatively on Big Ben and his legacy. You had two of the greatest offensive players in the history of football on your team for, what, 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And y'all never even went to a Super Bowl with that group? Offensively, I'm looking at Ben differently, honestly.
I think that's completely fair.
Yards from scrimmage, I don't think there's anybody in history that's gained more yards from scrimmage than Le'Veon Bell in their first, what, 3 or 4, 5 years in the league.
Yeah, he's got some huge numbers.
Huge numbers. And Antonio Brown, we're saying he's putting up, you know, ridiculous Randy Moss, Jerry Rice type numbers in his prime. And y'all ain't went to a Super Bowl? So I'm looking at Tomlin a little bit differently, too,
because
I'm a big Tomlin fan. But, man, Big Ben, how did y'all not dominate? Who the hell could defend y'all? Y'all lost to the Browns? Did they lose to the Browns? I almost lost to the Browns. Either way.
I think they beat them once this year.
Right?
But there's also some stuff. I'm with you, but then Steelers fans are going to, you know, get intricate and say, yeah, but there's this year or this game where our defense wasn't like it used to be. And some of that can be fair, but, Rod, at the end of the day, that it's this kind of just sums up a lost era for Ben.
It is.
Yeah.
I can't think. Give me a quarterback that's had two better weapons, period. In the last two decades.
I'll throw in Martavis in his prime, and then we're really talking.
You know what I'm saying? Like, give me a quarterback that's had better weapons than Big Ben and having Antonio Brown Le'Veon Bell in the last
I wouldn't even throw in Brian. I'd throw in the tight end they had at the time.
Because
when Heath Miller was there as tight end.
Yeah.
And then the O-line is legit. They always have two or three Pro Bowls on O-line.
Two things I would bring up. One, they've had a deterioration on defense as well. That's on Tomlin.
That's on Tomlin.
It may not as be much on Ben.
That's why I brought it up. That is true.
That's on Tomlin.
And also, not to defend Ben Roethlisberger, but you know, if common sense in the rules had taken place, or if the rule had already been changed, and Jesse James's play is a touchdown, there could have been a Super Bowl run there.
Well, then Cowboys fans would say, "What if Dez called it?" Then
right,
it's one more Super Bowl.
I'm just saying Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. We're just saying that they didn't get to one with that group. It's like, how the hell did they not do that? We know that the Steelers can get to Super Bowls. Big Ben's got two rings. So what the hell happened there?
Yeah. No, you're right.
They got to examine that. That's reason for internal reflection. Like, what the hell happened in the Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell situation? And how did we, the Steelers, not maximize two of the greatest offensive assets in NFL history on the same team at the same time with a Super Bowl quarterback and a Pro Bowl O-line? What the is going on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be a strange guy. And maybe it's already right now, which is what you're doing. But when it's all said and done, to really try and get your head around exactly
how good Big Ben was.
How good he was.
I agree with that.
And I think even tougher than Eli, because I think when you really sit down and think about Eli, you're going to realize he got hot.
He gets hot at the right time.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
But
yes.
We know what the other thing is.
Yeah, no doubt. Yep. No, I agree with you on that. I still think Eli's a Hall of Famer. Not because he deserves it, but because he's a Manning, and he played for the Giants, and he beat Tom Brady twice. So, yeah, he's in, like it or not.
Oh, no, Ron.
I'm sorry, he's going to make it. I don't like it either, but it's going to happen. You don't think the NFL wants another
I'm
going to
get all baseball. I'm going to get all baseball on you. No, 100%.
I'm just saying, he's going to be in, like it or not. That's kind of the point.
He probably will.
And Big Ben will, too. But Big Ben should be like a fourth or fifth ballot if that exists. Like, I'm losing respect for him right now.
Eli's going to – his thing's going to be – Len Swan.
Yeah, Eli's gonna be. Yep.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, it was two games, but
because it's gonna be the telling the story of the league discussion that we bring up all the time.
Agreed.
Can you tell the story of the NFL and Super Bowls without Lynn Swann? Well, you could, but it's not near as cool, and the catches aren't near as fun.
Agreed.
And the same thing with Eli. Two of the
Then you look at their overall stats and you go, what?
No, I know, but a Super Bowl that stopped a perfect season.
Wow.
And then the crazy Manningham catch and all the other things. Like, he did throw that ball, so you gotta
really good balls.
Sounds
during
crazy.
That run.
He did.
No, I know. I mean, trust me, I looked at the stats too, but he's gonna make it. I'm sorry, it's in. He's in.
Because to me, historically, he's Joe Flacco. And neither of them should get into Canton, but
that's a good comp.
But he was, Flacco's not a Manning.
But in the end, one's in and one's out.
Well, one's a Manning and one's not. We're talking about celebrity.
How's the Manning going to get you in?
He's a man. What do you mean? I'm not the first family.
He's
in
a Manning in name. He's got this table has more personality. Than
I agree. Now that I agree with. But
you're not looking forward to that speech because that'll be awesome.
And actually, I don't mind it because he's just obviously he is who he is, and he's not trying to fake anything.
Yeah.
And that's all I ask for from people. So I appreciate that. But let's be honest, I mean, he's not real charismatic.
I know, but it's just the family, the Archie, the Peyton.
Hell,
that's like another kid. I think Cooper has like a son that's really good at football, and there's like another Manning who's going to be really, really good. Yeah, there's a Manning kid that's like, why is Tom Herman not giving that guy a scholarship? There's a Manning kid out there. I'm giving that guy. That's the only, exception to getting a kid a scholarship at like 12. He's a Manning playing quarterback. Like, yeah, I'll do it.
I don't know if
because even if I don't get him, I'll get the Mannings to come hang around my school.
That whole thing. I don't know if he's committed here. But Eli was seriously looking at Texas.
I know. Yeah, recruit the Mannings. Just go find out what kind of kids they're having and just give them a scholarship. I'd do that.
Speaking of speaking of kids, and first of all, that's Rod Babers, weekdays 1 to 3 with the Rodcast. We'll get him back in here at 4:30. Speaking of kids, how about this text that came in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Somebody says, proud dad moment today. It's my son's first baseball practice today. That's got to be cool.
Let him have fun.
Yeah. Don't you? Right. Try not to yell.
Try not to yell.
Try to.
That's cool, though.
Try to stand back and just enjoy it. Maybe take some pictures. Yeah, that's good stuff.
You need to find out if the kid likes it.
That's true. Congratulations.
With this weather.
To that. Yeah, that's true.
Can you say Monkey had some of that? Yeah, you don't want to get jammed here.
Yeah, you get jammed in weather like this. Yeah. She learned pretty quick that softball in the cold weather is a little different than softball in the regular weather.
Start catching stuff on the web a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a little slinging the hand out, and whoa, that kind of hurt.
You'll learn.
Uh-huh. All right, coming up, we will get you a little crap bag on a Thursday, a little preview of the hat game, which comes up later. Plus, did you see how Georgia lost a basketball game last night? Was the right call made, or do they need to do something else? We'll talk about it on the horn.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
This segment brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, your one-stop shop for sporting goods, hunting, fishing, and camping equipment.
All right, little crap bag for you on a Thursday. Is there something we need to hit here before crap bag?
No. Oh, no, it's just another helmet for you.
Oh,
Nathan's got another helmet.
All right,
he said
cool.
He's not going to tag CDC on it because that blew up last time.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. But, yeah, it's what you got to remember about CDC. He will respond.
He will.
He will react.
But Nathan just enjoys doing this on his own. He wasn't trying to get something started.
Yeah, you're right. He just kind of does it because he loves it. So, Nathan, I'll definitely check out that new helmet. Also, quick shout-out to Dr. Eckert. I did wear the device last night.
The first night, did you tell people?
First night. I didn't mention it yesterday. I fell asleep two nights ago in the recliner, never put the damn thing in my mouth. So it sat next to me.
That's understandable.
All night. So last night I got it all set up and got everything clean because I got to brush the teeth first and do all that whole process. So then get that done, and my wife went to bed first. I got in the bed later, and I slept really well, kept it in there all night. He said sometimes people get freaked out. But I've been wearing a mouth guard for a long time for my teeth cleansing.
That's essentially what it is.
Yeah, there's a little more to it, but it's basically it's top and bottom, and I've just been having one on top. But now it's top and bottom. Got to get used to that. Got to get used to having a little more in my mouth. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, top, I've got to. Move on.
So anyway, my wife said that when she had to get up a couple times during the night, going to the bathroom, getting ready for work, whatever. And she said at one point there was a very little bitty bit of maybe snoring, but the rest of it was crickets.
Beautiful.
So pretty good report for the first night.
Okay.
I was very excited.
Well, hopefully it'll get better. I don't know if it does.
Yeah, but it and again, if where it's dialed up right now isn't perfect, they can adjust it. In fact, I can adjust it. There's a little tool that comes with it, and I can dial it. I'm sure he's not going to let me do this on my own. I have to go back in there, and he'll do it. But you can
he gave you the tool.
You can dial it to where your lower jaw is pulled forward just a little bit, which will open the air passage
a little more.
Oh, it's crazy. Good
All
technology.
Right, well, I'm glad you have a good report.
Yeah, so that was good. First night of that was good. So did you see the end of this Georgia basketball game last night?
I did on SportsCenter.
Okay, so they're tied at the end with – who are they playing? I don't even remember. Georgia-Mississippi State, maybe. And guy goes to the free throw line, and the game is tied. Mississippi State guy goes to the free throw line, tie ball game. He misses the first free throw. From behind him, somebody throws a stuffed bulldog, I guess that they handed out or whatever, throws it onto the floor. Now, there's no way you can convince me he saw it. There is no distraction that you could call. So you can't let him have the free throw over. But what they did is they ultimately called a technical foul. Tom Crean, who, if you all don't remember, is at Georgia as the head coach. Tom Crean was upset.
You should know because Georgia went 20 of 25 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's right. Texas did go there. So Crean was upset that he thought they would just give a warning. He went to the microphone, did the typical thing of, hey, let's not throw things on the floor. Come on, let's let this finish naturally.
He didn't go Billy Tubbs, did he?
I don't know. What did Billy Tubbs say?
Oh, the anniversary was a couple weeks ago. Billy Tubbs back in the day goes and OU fans are throwing stuff, and he grabs a mic and says, look, do not throw stuff on the court. I don't care how awful this officiating is. Do not throw stuff on the end. The place just went nuts.
Yeah, he didn't do that.
Raftery's doing color and goes, that's unbelievable.
That he didn't go that far. He did not go that far. Yeah, he was just trying to say, like, come on, let's. I think he said, like, let it finish naturally or let it finish the way it needs to finish or whatever. So then, and I understand his argument. Why not just say a quick warning? If you find the kid that actually threw it, throw him out, whatever. But they gave him an extra free throw, extra technical foul. He went technical foul, give him the extra free throw. He makes it. And then you got one free throw left from the two-shot foul. So now and it was like half a second left. So they missed it on purpose so that Georgia couldn't do, you know, have something back the other way.
Yeah, you don't call it there.
Just warn them, right?
Stuffed animal.
Right?
Next one, you're getting teed up.
It wasn't a bottle of anything. If he throws like a full water, he or she throws a full water bottle at the kid, okay, maybe we have a discussion.
So a discussion is find that person and arrest them.
That person, I agree. Definitely thrown out.
And you're never allowed in there again.
Minimum you're thrown out and you don't come back to this building. Probably arrested at that point. So then, but yeah, stuffed animal. I mean, come on. We got to consider what's going on there. The SEC can get a little strange. You know, if you storm the court, maybe they have the same thing as in football. Because if you storm the field in football, you get fined. The Aggies got fined for the LSU game. $50,000.
That wasn't for throwing blows?
That's conference rules.
That's conference
rules. No, yeah, nothing to do with that.
Nothing to do with that thing?
No, it wasn't even an added on. That's if you rush the field in the SEC, they fine you $50,000 because people have gotten hurt because it leads to stuff like that with fans and, you know, students and stuff. So, yeah, that was a very strange one. They need to probably look at how that works. Also, quick mention here, 20 years ago, tonight was my first date with my wife. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this part to you, Kevin, but you will, I think, appreciate it, and because you've met me. Have I ever told you she paid for the first date? Have I ever told you that part of the story?
Oh, I think that would have stuck. That is great. Did you offer?
Of course. The deal was...
No, that's not an of course if you listen to the show.
Oh, I know. That's fair. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Here's what it was. We were talking on the phone, this first conversation we had on the Friday, setting up the date for Sunday. And I came up with the idea. I said, why don't we, because she lived in Nacogdoches, I lived in Lufkin. That's about 30 minutes apart. I said, why don't we do this? One of us will drive, and then the other person will pay. So you just decide which one you want to do.
You threw that out there?
Yeah. I said, if you drive.
You didn't even know it, but you really were testing the waters.
In a way.
In a smart way, because you need to end up with someone who hears that and doesn't think, ew.
What a cheap bastard.
Right.
Yeah. No, it was just, for some reason, idea popped in my head. And I said, whatever you want to do. If you want me to drive the 30 minutes to you, that's cool, and then you can pay. Or if you want to drive here, I'll gladly pay.
So when did you tell her that no feelings?
Rule one.
Is that first date?
No feelings. That's at the end of that first date. No, I didn't go Trevor Bauer.
I do like how he split it up where rule one, I mean, rule two is pretty fair, and that'd be one that I think you could talk about early.
Yes. Rule two, social media, because I'm a famous guy.
Yeah,
yes,
let's keep things private. Well, not even that.
Yeah.
Just in general.
In general, but hey, specifically
this, I don't live in this era. I don't live right. in this. We talk about everything and everything is thrown out there on that type of stuff. I don't want to gossip a lot. I don't care about that stuff. What I'm telling you, sweetheart, I don't care about other people. All right. So maybe my two wouldn't turn out well. But on the surface, it's good.
So back to rule one, no feelings.
Back to rule one, no feelings.
If you missed rule one.
And rule three, I bag other broads, all right? That's crazy.
Yeah, that was wild from yesterday. No, I didn't have any of the Trevor Bauer rules for dating. I've never had rules for dating. My number one rule for dating was always, if I ask and they say yes, that's good. That's really about it.
Never really. I guess maybe in my head I did, but not really. It's just more things that, well, let's go on some dates and see if we're compatible.
Right. Yeah, I mean, basic stuff. Like, don't hit me during the date. I won't hit you. Don't
Not during the date. Nightcap. Yeah.
Don't throw anything during the date. You know, don't do anything like that.
Right.
I mean, you know, stuff.
Yeah, well, like we talked about earlier last week, basic stuff early. Don't hold the knife like a cavewoman.
Right.
It's just pretty basic stuff.
If we get crab cakes and you mush your hand in it and then start spreading it on your face and then, like, reenacting a scene from a movie, I'm probably going to leave. I'm probably done at that point.
Got to see it.
Yeah. You got to see who's doing it.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Fair enough. All right, coming up, we will talk some football with Tony Pauline from DraftAnalyst.com, breaking down the NFL draft. We are only 63 days from the draft and 8 days from the combine. That's coming up on The Horn.